We're ready. All right, good morning. I will call us to order for our regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, 11-12-13. I've been wanting to say that. Tuesday, 11-12-13. Welcome, everybody, and ask if you would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you and good morning again. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address items that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do that? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we will move on. We're actually going to hold on to consideration of minutes until next week. So that takes us to personnel actions, and we have all items accounted for.
Move approval as noted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda, please add 1423 to our road closures.
Move approval with noted addition.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. That brings us to public hearing items. First item on the public hearing list is consideration of Resolution 1442 authorizing TIF debt and consideration of certification of TIF debt to the Story County Auditor. And Jessica Reynolds, our civil attorney, will walk us through this. Good morning. Good
morning on this cold morning.
Good morning to the board. Today, the board is considering a public hearing regarding entering into a tax increment revenue loan in an amount not to exceed $200,000 related to financing projects in the Story County Urban Renewal Area. And for specific consideration is a $159,200 internal loan. Before the public hearing begins, I would inquire of the auditor as to any written objections she's had received.
Morning, Lucy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning. No written objections have been filed in my office.
Okay.
Thank you.
So for the public hearing portion on Resolution 1442, we're discussing $159,200 of an internal loan within the county to cover the projects that were approved a couple weeks ago. Questions of Jessica before we open the public hearing board? Okay. Hearing none, we will open the public hearing for discussion of 1442 authorizing tax increment financing debt, an internal loan of $159,200, and ask if there's anyone who would like to address the board on this. Seeing no one moving, I will close the public hearing and turn to the board for your pleasure.
Move approval of Resolution 1442.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Jessica, anything that needs to be added before we take action on this?
Not at this time.
Okay. Hearing nothing. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 1442 passes. Next item for us to take on this is take action certifying the TIF debt that we just approved with Resolution 1442. Anything that needs to be added on that?
No.
Okay.
Board,
and we have no different readings on this one here, so this is just can all be done in one final.
Right. This is merely the authorizing certifying the TIF debt to the auditor as required by statute.
Move approval of ordinance number, was it 224? No, sorry.
This is certification to the auditor.
Gotcha. Yep. I'm got a lot
on my
plate
today.
I do
this all the time, so it's confusing. No.
Okay.
We have a motion.
We have a motion
and a second.
Further discussion. This is simply certification of the debt we just approved to the auditor so that she can do all the reports that she needs to do. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Lucy? Certified. Now moving on under public hearing items, first consideration of Ordinance 224, amending the boundaries of the official zoning map, Story County, Iowa, as referenced in Section 86.02 of the Story County Code of Ordinances, located in Section 18 of Franklin Township, under the ownership of Malini Anthram from A1 to A2, Leanne Harder, Planning and Development Director. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Shelley. I have a few slides, and then we'll get to the nature of the official zoning map amendment. This property is located northwest of the city of Ames, right on County Line Road, and if you were to extend 190th to the west to County Line Road, that'd be that T intersection. The site is, for the area proposed to be amended on the zoning map, is a little over 4 acres, 3.65 net when you take out right-of-way. Currently, the property is zoned A1 agricultural and is classified as an agricultural land use for taxation purposes as it's used for agricultural row crop, and it currently is designated on our county development plan as agricultural conservation area. This is the surrounding property owner map that was sent to those properties within a quarter mile of the property boundaries. You'll see the yellow line is the county line road, and the property boundaries are in green, and then all those properties highlighted in blue are those that did receive the notice of today's meeting. Some quick site shots. This is looking up towards the property along County Line Road to the northeast, and then getting up by the driveway and then panning down to the southeast, seeing the existing row crop vegetation, and then looking same shot but going due east, you see the driveway entrance to the existing house and the tree line, and then looking from that direction down south along the road. The applicant does propose to rezone this about 4-acre piece for a future site of a small seed corn facility. It is going from A1 agricultural to A2 agribusiness as the proposed zone district. Currently, as you saw, it's along hard surface road. There is Xenia water line on the west side of North 500th to serve the property. It is located within Midland Power's electrical service territory, and West Story Gilbert Fire District serves the site. As the board well knows, all zoning map amendments must be in conformance with Section 92.06, Subsection 2 of the Story County, Iowa Code of Ordinances. The five standards for approval that must be satisfied are listed on the screen. I won't repeat those or list them off, but if you do have any questions, I can address those specifically. In regards to the relationship to the land use framework map, staff did identify several principles from the existing county development plan that did demonstrate conformance of the proposed rezoning with our adopted county plan. Again, I won't list these. They were in the staff report available for today's meeting, but a couple slides on that. I do want to just state the statement of intent for the A2 agribusiness district because it's important given the nature of this use going from A1 to A2. And the A2 district is intended and designed to provide for those activities strongly interrelated with agricultural uses and must therefore be located in agricultural areas. It may be necessary to locate such uses on land scoring 267 to 300 points based on the land evaluation and site assessment LISA system, although this shall be avoided where possible. It is also intended, to the degree possible, all A2 districts shall be entirely surrounded by the A1 district. That statement of intent and applicable standards inferred in that statement of intent are satisfied with this proposed rezoning. Again, it is located in an agricultural area except for the farmstead on the northwest corner, which you saw in the site shots. Within 1/2 mile of the proposed area, definitely predominance of agriculture. Almost 90% is agricultural uses, 13% is used for residential uses. And of those 55 parcels within 1/2 mile, half are used for over half, and then the other half are for residential. That, just for your benefit, sometimes this can get confusing when you see almost 90% is used for agriculture within 1/2 mile, but then you look at the number of parcels. You have to keep in mind parcels used for agriculture are generally 40 acres and larger, and used for residential can be 5, 10 acres on down. And that's why that can sometimes get a little bit confusing. We also look at environmental resources. This is in the Squaw Creek watershed. However, there's no floodplain on the property, so we don't need to look at the floodplain management ordinance and those regulations. There no area is designated natural resource area on the county development plan map, and to our knowledge, there are no public drain tiles, nor is it in a public drainage district. Also, we did complete a land evaluation site assessment, LISA acronym. It is scored 197 for the total the site assessment and 289 for the total score. That is within the range, but the regulations recommend avoiding where possible, but again, it does meet the intention. Just some standard practices of our department. We placed a notification sign on September 13th, 2013. Just public notice that from this point on, with the weather, we won't be placing any of the development review signs until spring comes. Notification letters were mailed October 22nd, and then legal notices published in all three official newspapers October 24th. We're following the requirements of 92.064 in the Code of Ordinances, and with it being if there were a conditional rezoning agreement, but there is not in this particular case. Planning and Zoning Commission recommend approval of the proposed amendment to A2 as put forth in case REZ03-13 on October 7th to the Board of Supervisors, and your alternatives are there on the board, and they're in your memo prepared as well, but I can repeat them if you'd like. Any questions?
Questions for Leanne before we open the public hearing?
Nope.
Leanne, thank you. With that, I will open the public hearing on ordinance number 224 and ask if there is anyone wishing to address the board on this matter. Again, seeing no one moving, we'll close the public hearing and turn to the board. What's your pleasure?
Okay, I jumped the gun the last time, so I will move again the consideration of ordinance number, approval of ordinance number 224, amending the boundaries of the zoning map as submitted.
All right, so option one.
Actually, option one. We accept the recommendation, option one.
Second reading.
Yeah.
Second reading. Oh, we will need that for Tuesday, November 19th. Thank you for the clarification.
All right, so the motion is option one, setting the second reading for Tuesday, November 19th. Do we have a second?
Second.
Correct.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Ordinance 224 is adopted with second reading coming on Tuesday, November 19th. Leanne, anything else for this? Thank you very much. Next item is consideration of Ordinance 225, amending Chapter 86, District Requirements, and Table 90-1, Table of Conditional Uses of the Story County Code of Ordinances. Leanne Hart.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi. I'm a bad penny. I keep on showing up. If you'll recall, in the 2013 work program for our department that was approved by the Board of Supervisors, we have a project called Zoning Map Audit. This was in response to that Community Planning Assistance Team, CPAT, report that was prepared for the Board of Supervisors a year or two ago this time that said we needed to do an inventory of our current zoning districts. And this is for the unincorporated areas of Story County only, and identify if there were any changes to those zoning districts, if we need any new zoning districts, boundary amendments whatsoever. So we're kind of in that first phase of the zoning map audit, And what we've come up with is before the board today are some changes to the Code of Ordinances in response to that research we've done. The first, I'm going to take them in segments too. The first proposed change is to combine the C commercial and the I-1 light industrial zone districts into one zone district. Up until February 28, 2006, we cross-referenced the commercial zone. Commercial district allowed those in the I-1 light industrial district. And this was carryover from previous ordinances dating back to 1958 where we had one commercial light industrial district. For whatever reason, at some point in time, the two were broken down into two separate districts. Specific uses were added to the C commercial district, and that language based on committee work was dropped in 2006 to remove the cross-reference to the I-1 light industrial. What happened, a number of commercial uses that were located in that I-1 light industrial that had been there in some cases since early 70s became non-conforming. And it really did cause some issues, and we've had to deal with some notice of violations on, and some various concerns have come about because of that. What we're recommending is that we go back to where it was when originally drafted, probably in the late 50s, early 60s, and combine into one commercial light industrial zone. And I'll get into some more information on that, but I just wanted to give some facts and figures. We have about 380 acres zoned C commercial and 200 acres zoned I-1 light industrial. Keep in mind, the vast, vast majority of land in unincorporated Story County is zoned A1 agricultural. We have where, if you can drive around where our commercial zoning is, it coexists with industrial uses within it, and you go to our light industrial, you see commercial uses located within it. They are very similar in regards to impacts to health, safety, and general welfare. We've added some additional language in the past few years to address when nuisances are possibly present on a site and have conditions of approval attached to those zoning permits. So I think maybe some of the previous concerns of the committee in 2005 to 2006 have been alleviated through different changes we've made. Just some quick snapshots of the county, and this may be kind of difficult to see up there. Up by Story, I just want to point out areas where we do have zoning and commercial and industrial zoning in place in Story County. It is, you'll see, scattered. Everything that's not colored up there is A1 agricultural. So if you just see the gray aerial, I guess not colored, you see the gray of the aerial, that's A1 agricultural. There's some commercial to the west of Story City highlighted in red or in blue. A little segment just west of Roland, some just to the northeast of Ames, where U.S. Filter is, and I guess it's Siemens now, and those uses along Aerosmith Trail. And then you go further east in the county, we have scattered commercial and industrial zoning in Fernald, unincorporated area of Fernald, and then both east and west of the city of Zeering. And then really the predominance of our commercial and industrial uses are to the south of Ames, kind of the southwest corridor or quadrant of the Story County. You see just immediately south of Ames along 35 and the junction of I-35 Interstate or Highway 30. There's quite a conglomeration of I-1 and commercial uses. And then you go further east into Nevada, on the outskirts of Nevada, along Airport Road, we have it. And then along U.S. Highway 69 between Ames and Huxley. And then you go over to eastern part of Story County. It really is gets much more limited as you go east. Just outside of City of Nevada, just to the east of Harrington Park, there's a large piece that's zoned commercial on both sides of the road of Lincoln Highway. And then the area of the Twin Anchors Campground, part of that is zoned commercial as well. There's some commercial zoning south of Collins, And just little scattered pieces here and there. But as you see, the areas are, we've identified where the areas are. Those property owners that had have property zoned commercial or light industrial did receive a notice of the proposed changes prior to the Planning and Zoning Commission. We did get some response to the mailing, and we explained what we're doing, and it seemed to make sense to those with whom we'd had discussions. So we're recommending a whole new name, the CLI, Commercial Light Industrial Zoning District. And with that, we really need to get rid of the I-2 district name, instead make that HI, Heavy Industrial. Not changing any uses in the Heavy Industrial, just the name to make sense. And keeping that theme going, looking at how we have the R1 and the R2 districts named to make them more descriptive, make them truly reflect what the uses are. So the R1 would be R1 Transitional Residential, and the R2 would be Urban Residential District. And then we also would like to propose doing away with that list of permitted uses that we have currently in the commercial district. I think we all have in mind what commercial use can be or should be or may be. Limiting that, it was quite confusing from both a public standpoint as well as implementation standpoint. If it was a use that wasn't listed on that, then that, did it count? Did we not permit it? And it said similar in nature too. And it just, I think this reduces a lot of the confusion and makes it more user friendly. And then we do have a request from the Story County Board of Adjustment that Story County consider removing kennels as a permitted use in the A1 and A2 districts. If you look at the impacts associated with a kennel, they can have transportation to and from the site. They can have noise issues. They can have lighting issues, a number of different issues that would be better addressed through a conditional use permit. So not saying that they're not permitted, they just need to go through a conditional use permit. This is in response to a couple of concerns that were raised to the Board of Adjustment for variances. So what we're recommending is that be removed as a permitted use from the A1 and A2 district and be added to the list of conditional uses. So that would just go to Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment rather than a straightforward zoning permit. And then along those same veins, schools have been permitted use. We would like to remove those as a permitted use and put them in the conditional use permit chapter. Those are permitted use in the A1, AR, R1, and the R2 districts. If we have a new school that's proposed in the R1 district, that will have a substantial impact on that neighborhood. And I think just the expectation that staff alone can issue that permit may not be appropriate, that should be vetted through a public process beyond just staff. And then to match up with all that, we are recommending amending table 90.1 or -1. This is the table of conditional uses. So everything from adding kennels and public schools to changing the names of C and I-1 districts. So some cleanup on that table too. We are working our next steps. If this is approved today, our zoning map audit won't be finalized with these three considerations. We've got some next steps. I kind of gave you the snapshots of where those zoning district boundaries are. We want to look at them whole scale, meet with property owners, do they make sense? Did someone on a speculative basis rezone to A1 or C commercial 20 years ago, no plans in future now or at any time, they just want to continue farming it? Do we go back and downzone that, or do we have areas that have a commercial use that have been zoned A1 and are non-conforming? And do we bring those into conformance by amending the zoning district map? But to do that, we'd like to actually take it as far as we can and do an inventory of vacant lots we have and tie that. So we're going a little bit beyond just commercial and industrial with the next step of the audit, looking at the residential, and do some calculation and population projections and do some growth needs analysis and tie the two and make sure not only are we adequately planning for future growth, but we have the land zoned accordingly to allow for that. And so once we get that identified, then we can bring the next step forward. But we have to piece it through step by step.
So you're suggesting that our planning and development department would plan for development? Is that what you're suggesting there?
Next slide. Planning and Zoning Commission did review this on October 7th, 2013, and did recommend approval to the Board of Supervisors. And then your alternatives are up there. Similar as the last case, approval and first consideration, setting second for next Tuesday. And yes, Rick, that is the intention.
Well, that's a good intention. I like that that you start by trying to simplify what our zones are and the process that people would have to go through. And so I'm appreciative. Before we open the public hearing, questions for Leanne?
No, I think that was a kind of a similar thought that I had in mind. Obviously, over the course of a number of years, we've looked at areas that sometimes language changed by clarifying it a little bit would make it easier for not only for staff but for the general public in navigating through this process. And I think this process haven't just occurred just overnight. This has been something that has been looked at for several years now, and going back historically to see where there have been similar situations. And I think more than anything, I think this is, again, a reflection of, you know, not only the dedication of staff, but the board for taking a look at some of these kind of issues and bringing forth this type of recommendation. So I applaud you for the manner in which this is being analyzed and presented.
Agree. Anything, Paul?
Yeah.
All right. In that case, we will open the public hearing and ask if there is anybody who would like to address the board on proposed ordinance 225. We're getting a little theme going here. Okay, again, seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for action, and please remember the need for setting a second consideration.
I will move approval of ordinance 225 under alternative one and set the second reading for November 19th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second approving as presented and setting the second reading for next Tuesday. Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 225 passes with second reading coming next Tuesday. Next item on our public hearing docket is discussion of adding portions of Story County secondary roads to the Area Service Level B Road System, County Engineer Darren Moon. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we have four roads we identified in a certain area of the county that we'd like to at least look at the possibility of making Level B. This is really our first discussion on it, so we're looking to get some public input on seeing if this is the right thing to do on these roads. A little history on Level B roads. In the 70s and 80s, some counties were having some liability issues and were getting sued on some Level B or dirt road issues that weren't Level B yet, so legislature passed a law in 81 that allowed counties to classify the road system into Level A and Level B roads. Along with the passage of the law came some administrative details, and we kind of stressed this recently on that issue we had on a Level B road we already have with the wind farm looking for access. You can't rock a road once you make it Level B unless your policy says you can do that, and ours does not, and most don't. And so at the bottom here, the advantage of this is if you follow those procedures in your ordinance for Level B roads, you will be immune from liability on these roads. So wanted to stress that. What has Story County done? Since 1981, the county did adopt the Level B ordinance in 1990. No roads were added at that time, though. We waited until 2006 when about 36 road segments were added to the Level B system. And most of those were already dirt roads. They were just reclassified. There's a map of those roads that are already on the Level B system. Uh, This is the ordinance that was passed in 1990. Again, just defining the area service system and what type of maintenance. Blading and dragging will not be performed on a regular basis, nor will snow and ice removal. There is some signing that's needed. Road surfacing, there will be no road surfacing applied. That's one of the major items.
Darren, how often do we go in on our current level B roads and blade them?
Well, we try to do it at least twice a year, especially right before harvest. It's got to be a dry time because we can't get through most of them when it rains. So if we find a dry time, we try to hit them once or twice a year at least.
The intent for Level B is to allow our farmers access to their fields, yep. But really nothing else.
Yeah, most of them are just field and farm access issues. Otherwise, we'd vacate the road altogether, but they need that road to access their property, so that's why they're there.
Yep.
That's the signage that goes at each end of the Level B road. These are the four we've identified in this particular area of the county, the yellow segments here. The first one here is a bit of a unique situation. It's old S-27. This is paved, but when the new S-27 was realigned, this is the current S-27, so this paving has really deteriorated over time. We've had a lot of discussions on that. We've recently seal-coated this stretch in front of the houses right here. And this stretch here is not quite as bad, so we're going to try to get as much life out of that as we can, but this pavement is in real rough condition. So, also, we had a request from the landowner right here to actually vacate this stretch of road and make this essentially a private driveway. Talked to the neighbor across the street, and they would also be in favor of closing it. But in order to do that, these farmers still need to use this road to access their property. And creating a closure and a turnaround for a motor grader in the winter is a tough thing for a motor grader to do. So that's where the Level B came in. If we Level B this, we wouldn't have to plow snow in the winter on it. So that's where this is coming from. Another one showing the actual property lines. I do have a hearing set up in 2 weeks from today to actually discuss the vacation of this stretch of road. I wanted to do Level B portion first because that notifies more of the property owners in the area to see if there's any feedback we can get. Second one is this stretch of 315th by Maxwell. The road is right here. It was about 16 years ago, I believe it was, this bridge was taken out and vacated that little stretch of road, which left two dead ends. There are some houses on this end, but this end is essentially just field access. But it does catch a little corner of this property over here, too. So that's the only access to get back to that. Otherwise, we'd probably consider, like I say, vacating that. But some pictures of that road. About half of it, we've lost a lot of the rock on it. A private individual did some ditch cleaning on their own, so that kind of on that lower stretch, so that's essentially dirt. You can see there's a little bit of rock left on the upper portion, but that's looking back east, and the bridge is out down here. But
so have we essentially treated this as a Level B for the last few years?
In a way, since there's no homeowners back there, it probably got neglected for snow removal because we had higher priorities. But we eventually have to clear the snow on it if it's a Level A. Next road segment. I believe it's this one here, just outside of Cambridge. We've discussed this one for many years, and a lot of it has to do with this bridge, wood bridge we have right here that's really posted low. It's only 5-ton posting right now, so our motor grader cannot cross that. It's in a tough area also to turn around because of the bike trail culvert. That's the wood bridge here, and then this is the bike trail over the top of this culvert, which is narrow. We've discussed the possibility of closing that bridge or replacing it, but we wanted to first discuss possibility Level being that road, so if we didn't have to plow snow on it, we could still leave it open. And this bridge is also It's still serving its purpose. It was talked about being closed 20, 30 years ago, but it still keeps hanging on there, and we're getting by its load post, but not nearly as low as this one. So there still is access both ways, and there's a new bridge here. But level being that one, mostly for winter purposes, is why we brought that one up. Again, here's the property owner layout. Essentially, we have this property owner who gets access here. This property owner probably has a driveway here, so he would use it for ag purposes. These three are all owned by the same, which extends back this way. So they do need to get up here for access to these fields. And then this property owner has got access off of this road. So the last road is this 320th lane, small stretch of road off of 570th here. The road is actually right here. It's tough to see because there really isn't much left to the road. It essentially serves access to get to these properties back here that would be landlocked. Also, talked to our motor grader operator, and he has not been maintaining that, wasn't fully aware of that, so that is an issue we have to resolve. Either we bring this up to current level A road, or we make it a level B road, so he doesn't, because he said he just has nowhere to turn around is his difficulty, why he doesn't go back there in the winter. And, of course, there's no houses, so it's, again, lower priority for him. And there's also been a request to build a new house in the area and asked to take access off of that road. And that's always a concern for the county, is similar to that wind farm proposal. But with a house, you have emergency services that need to get back there at all times. So it's a concern and a liability for the county if it's not a level B road. So those are the four proposed roads. Again, this is the notice that was sent out to the property owners, all that adjoin each one of these, informing of this hearing. And I guess at this point, ask if there's any questions, or you can go ahead and start the public hearing. In the past, we've lumped them all into one hearing. We don't have to have a hearing for each one together, so you could just lump them all into one hearing and take comments on all four.
Question is more procedural. Sure. You've listed the four here. Depending on what action we take today, this would still not change any future roads that were to be considered for downgrading from A to B, would still go through the public hearing process and notification process, and then all the factors related to residents, farmsteads, and access would be considered. Is that?
Yeah, that won't change any of that.
That doesn't change?
No.
Okay.
So this is specifically dealing with these four. We could take action on all four together, or we could pull. I mean, we could do whatever we want with these four after we get through the public hearing.
And there's no intention of taking action today.
Okay.
For two reasons. One, get some more public input. And two, I want to have that road vacation hearing in 2 weeks. Make sure both those parts go together before we level B the south portion. So I wait at least 2 weeks before we would pass a resolution on this.
So we're looking for feedback both today and over the next couple weeks. Sorry, Wayne, one other question. So as you went through those, it looked to me like at least two and maybe all four of them, while they're not level B roads, we've really been treating them as level B roads, at least in a couple cases. Would your expectation be that those roads, I mean, we're just not going to put any rock on them, but it doesn't look like we've put any rock on them recently, and we're not going to do anything in the winter to them. But other than that, it would just kind of continue what we've been doing?
Correct. And there'd be less liability to the county if something did happen on that road.
Well, if we treat them as level B, it makes sense that they be a level B. Absolutely. Anything, Paul, anything for Darren? All right, in that case, I will open the public hearing for discussion of adding portions of Story County Secondary Roads to the Area Service Level B Road System and ask, and I actually know we have one, ask if there is anyone wishing to address the board on this issue.
Yeah.
Ms. Colvin, come up. Darren, can you pull up the photo of the road that we're discussing here?
Can you get that one light, Shelley, over there just a little bit so I can make it a little clearer, please?
Ms. Colvin, please start by introducing yourself.
Hi, I'm Sonia Colvin, and we own 80 acres of farmland that's down and up on a down the road and up on the lane. And I ask that you consider that one separately and consider not changing it down to Schedule B, because that is our only access to the farm. A lot of the other farms, as you talked about, have additional accesses. That is our only access to our farm. And we do have utility services, both water and electricity up there. We have always talked about potentially building a house up there, and we do go up there and we need access to that. I guess that's pretty well what we're talking about with it.
How has the maintenance of that road been?
It has occasionally been graded, but actually the road has stayed pretty good except for one spot most of the time.
And how about in the winter?
In the winter, it depends. Here in Story County, it's a lot easier than a lot of other counties because the snow disappears. And so we do have access to it in the winter. And both of our son and daughter-in-law use that area for our firewood and fire cutting, so we do access that farm all year round.
But do we have a grader go down there and move the snow, or do you just rely on the snow disappearing?
Snow disappearing, or we have a snow blower, too.
Okay. Now, which one are we specifically talking about here again of the four?
It's the first one on the listing.
Yep.
The
320.
Last
320.
Right. Okay. This one right here, Wayne.
Okay, got you.
Under 20th.
And where's the house again? Right there.
Okay. That's not our.
That's not yours.
On this, and then
down the road.
Right.
And when you get down the road, there's a
curve right,
right
here.
Okay, got you.
So you're down here.
Right.
And you can't see. You have to lift the picture up a little bit to see where our homestead is at. There. There is not a house there at this time.
Right.
Okay. Not speaking to the idea of future development, future building of a residence or anything right there, because clearly this would take that off the table. But, Darren, in terms of the way this road is currently been maintained, as you recently learned, how could the Colvins expect this to change if it were moved to a Level B?
I wouldn't think there'd be much change at all. We could still hit it, you know, once or twice a year. I could say we wouldn't hit it much at all for snow removal purposes.
Okay. You wouldn't hit it at all if it were Level B?
No, we couldn't.
Question comes in, knowing that it's an access area. Let's say we have one of those real severe heavy snows that, you know, I'm thinking of the 15 to 18 inch, you know, over in a short period of time, and it may impact, you know, their ability to get in and out. Do we have any type of an agreement where we would assist them as far as access? Since there's no farmstead, the only question is the access seemed like getting back either for cutting wood or other purposes. Am I correct in that regard? Because at that time, you're probably not doing any farming on the land.
Not usually during the wintertime.
Right, right.
We do have trees that part of the cutting of the firewood, we have a tree problem back in there, so we have to continually work on the trees, and that's much easier to do when it's cool out than
right,
when it's hot.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Colvin, thank you very much. You. Yes, ma'am. And I saw somebody else. Good morning. Please start by introducing yourself.
Morning. I'm Jean Bean Fang. We live on 650th Avenue, so if you could bring that up, that'd be helpful. All right. We live right here, and across the road are the Martin family. We're the only two families that live on that road. It's really been treated for the most part as a Level B, with the exception of some snow pushing, and it's asphalt that's really broken up badly. I know this isn't the issue today, but we'll be here in 2 weeks when we talk about actual closing of the road. And there are farms on either side, and you can see where the road goes that the farmers have access to that. Our concern is, and we don't have any problem with pushing the snow out ourselves if it were moved to a Level B first. Ultimately, we would like to see it closed.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason is because ourselves and neighbors also agree that it's a hazard for our children, because that stretch of road, for many of the residents in the area, see it as Highway S-27. And even though there are large potholes, there are still people that fly down that road instead of taking the new S-27. Even with the road deteriorating, there are still people that drive up and down that road that have really no business going up and down that road. They don't own the farm there. They don't live in either of the homes that are there. And so we would be fine with Level B, but ultimately, again, we'd like to see it closed altogether. And just to give you an example, not too long ago we had drunk drivers that want to get off the main road, so they want to take that road and stopped about halfway down that road past our house and were sitting there on the road. And so we called the police because they were there for an hour or so, and it just was a little unnerving for us. So the police came and arrested them and took them. But I think if it were closed, that would put a stop to people driving up and down that road that don't really need to be using it. They could use the new S-27, which was put there for a reason.
Thank you very much. Darren, are we talking about Level B in this entire stretch, or are we talking about concurrently Level B being the southern portion and vacating the northern portion?
Right now, Level B would just take place from here down here to here.
Okay.
We left that out.
With the intent, if we were to go to Level B, of vacating it to the property owners. And it seems like at one point we had a question of the northernmost access to S-27, that would fall completely on one property owner's side. And so there was concern about easement, I think, for the eastern property. Is that right?
Right.
No. This one here. Yeah, that one there.
Yeah, there was some issues with this one, too, actually, having it. A strange piece of ground that crossed, but I think we've resolved that one. But yeah, this one only goes up to about right here property wise. We'll get into it more when we talk about actual vacation in 2 weeks, but I think we might just vacate it to here for a number of reasons, and you'll see in some photos I have of that when we talk about it more later.
Okay.
But that would still give them legal access.
That help address your concern?
Okay. And the intent is, if it does go to a Level B, that the pavement will be taken up. Is that correct? Or you just plan on just leaving it the way it is?
We're going to see if a mortar grader will peel that off or not. If not, we'd have to bring a mill in and mill it all out. If we make it a Level B, it's not quite as important liability-wise. It won't get much use. So we try to keep that pavement as long as we could if it's Level B. If it stays Level A, I have concerns about liability with how bad the potholes are.
Oh, and just for my information, if we were to Level B the southern portion and vacate the northern portion, what would we do right on the property line? Would we put in a pile of something? How would we effectively close that down?
Be at least the minimum of signage, the reflective signs, but we might mound up some dirt or something too to put the signs in so it doesn't entice people to push the signs over and drive through anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Ma'am, anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else wishing to address the board? Yes, sir. Again, for the record, please start by introducing yourself.
I'm Roger Griffith from Cambridge, and the section I'm concerned about is 597th Avenue. Mm-hmm. Was showed. You'll have to forgive me. I'm pretty naive about this. So far, I've heard that the reason we need to close this road is because there's no way to turn the maintainer around. Is that the objective here? Is the reason that we're closing this road is because of that? Are we talking about saving quite a bit in taxes as far as maintenance?
Yeah, from my view, I'll try to answer that. From my view, the reason to take a road from Level A to Level B would have to do with the maintenance of it, and turning around the motor grader would be part of that. But in practicality, for me, it's going to be, how is this road used, and are we over-maintaining it? Because it does all come down to tax dollars and everything else. The engineers have done a nice study of what it costs to maintain the different levels of road. But for me, it's just a practicality issue. If the road it behaves like a Level B road, then we should recognize it as a Level B road. And so that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. I don't know if Wayne or Paul see it differently than that.
Well, no, I think your assessment of it was a lot clearer than what I would have probably noted. But I was going to say that this is not just happening here in Story County. This is a statewide issue when it comes to maintenance of roads. This is being talked about through the Iowa Association of County Engineers, and county supervisors have been brought into discussion about this. Matter of fact, when we I just met with the governor a little over a week ago, and we were talking about not only road funding, but the authority by which counties had to either vacate roads or to deal with some of the pressing problems that are going to continue to surface if we don't have adequate funding to maintain them. And this reclassification appears to be more or less acknowledgement of the fact that the road itself is not being maintained as a level A road, and therefore because of the number of residents and the way it's being utilized, from a county perspective, we need to make sure that it's designated and classified appropriately. And then that lets the property owners or the people that will be using it for agricultural purposes or whatever to understand the level of maintenance that they could expect. And I think that just is part of the challenge that we're facing with right now. But I think you have a very good point.
Mm-hmm. What is the level of expectance of the people that use this road then when it becomes level B? It's been mentioned that, this road, 597th, really isn't maintained very well now. So I don't know how much of a savings it would be, but they just say that, there won't be any rock put on it, and it'll just be maintained, just as it is now. Well, if you've got a way of keeping roads usable without putting any rock on them, then we've got a chance here to save Story County, what, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars? In other words, I don't think you can expect a road to not have any rock on it. Now, it doesn't mean it has to have it on every year or anything, but you can't. Even a Class B road is going to turn into a mud road if you don't maintain it. And the reason my concern is, if you take a look at that map right on the southwest part of that, I've got 15 acres there. And on the west side of it is a Skunk River. And on the south side of it is a neighbor. And on the north side of it is the bike path. And I only have, on the east side of it, maintenance. That's the road I have to get in and out of there. And my question is not what's going to happen next year, but what's going to happen down the road. Now, this 597th, I can see why it would need to be closed. And the reason being is because I don't think it's fair for me to expect the people of Story County to spend a lot of money on this road for this one section. However, you've got that little bridge there that I think is totally unsafe now. And then you've got the underpass, which I don't know who takes care of that. Is the federal government going to take care of that since it's a bike path, or is Story County going to take care of it? I don't know, but you do have problems there. But eventually there are going to be houses on that road. So my one question is, so it goes to Class B. So let's say that there's a housing project that goes on that road. Can this be can a Class B level road be reversed to a Class A road or county highway, or is it once it's Class B, that's the end of it?
It can be reversed. We don't have a policy to reverse it, but it can be reversed. We'd have to come up with a policy. Some counties have them, and most of them refer back to this, like the special assessment part of the code, where at least 50% of the cost to improve it to level A is borne by the property owner. So,
right, and just be clear, we can't have any residents on a level B road. Either there can't be a residence there, or it needs to be at least a level A road.
Correct. I think you could. I have some real concern about it liability-wise. So that's something we'd have to think. Most counties don't do that, no. And if somebody proposes to build a house, then their upgrade policy kicks in, and the landowner has to pay a good chunk of that.
Well, I may be oversimplifying here, Darren, but it just helped me through this. The intent of a Level B road is recognition that there are 4 or 5 months a year that that landowner should not expect access to that piece of property. Now, for harvest, I mean, that's our primary concern here. For planting and harvest, we want to make sure, even on these roads, because you're 100% right, they will turn into dirt eventually. Well, but even on those, you get in and blade those out just before planting and just before harvest to try to make it as good as possible. Now, we get a hard rain. It's a mud road, no question about it. But my big issue is if we're treating it as a Level B road, but calling it a Level A road, I think there's serious liability there. I think if we're calling it a Level A road, we need to treat it as a Level A road. And if it's not, if we're not treating it that way and it doesn't need to be a Level A, then for savings, we need to take it to a Level B. And it would absolutely hinder any potential development above and beyond agricultural, the current agricultural use, if this were taken to a Level B. And so that's part of the conversation that we're starting today.
I appreciate that. I'm not, like I say, I'm not trying to be selfish on this. I'm trying to think what's best for the county. But at the same time, there's property taxes that are coming out of those fields that I feel as though if I have to pay the property tax, I need a way to get the product to market.
Absolutely.
And, so that's, I'm not, I understand your problem, and I think you understand mine. So what I am concerned about is the fact that there'll be some farm. We have an elevator on 320th Street at Cambridge. And so, therefore, if you close that, I don't think it's going to be real effective, but there are going to be some farmers in that area that are going to, their choice will be go to the highway. So now you're going to have farm roads on the highway leading to Cambridge, and then they're going to drive through Cambridge, which is going to be a burden on the roads in Cambridge. So, therefore, we need to take that in consideration, I guess.
But help me with this. As I understand it, with the bridge, which I think you rightly note is bordering on unsafe now, and the hole in the – I think that's the hole in the wall, right?
Yeah.
The hole in the wall. Do we have farm implements going all the way from north to south on this road now?
Some, yeah. Wow. That 5-ton, that you know.
They'd have to be small.
You can go on the Skunk River Bridge that they're going to be going on, and they probably are over limit there too, but – you know, it happens.
Okay.
That wooden bridge, I will tell you this, that is definitely, I would think, a concern for Story County.
Well, and that's why they load limit it, and if somebody hauls their wagon across it and falls through, the sign's there for a reason, and they know that risk when they go across it, and I've seen that happen before. So
Yeah, and it can happen again, and like I say, I'm not just trying to protect Story County. I'm trying to protect the guys going across it,
sure.
and he's illegal.
I would encourage him to go the other way. I would sooner have him going down the highway with it.
Absolutely.
And I think he's safer doing that than he is taking that shortcut across the 5-ton bridge with a couple loads of corn.
But so that I'm clear, for you, we need to be able to make sure that you can get from your property south to 320th and then on into Cambridge, back and forth,
yeah.
Right there.
Regular piece, right there. You just
yep.
show it
right there.
You.
Yep.
And it points. The point of that is Skunk River.
Yep.
The neighbor that's on the
south.
Bike path is on the north. So
right.
The only way into that field. Now the one on the other side of that triangular piece on the east side.
He's got access
out
further.
The side of that
right.
Underpass, it's possible for us to drive clear to the other east end of our property and go to the elevator that way. It is so much. It's much more convenient as well as cost saving
right.
to come out on that road and go. And now I don't know if anybody's representing Blacks, but they have also got some land there that on that Class B that they're probably. Should be concerned about as well. So I guess that's what you guys get paid for,
sure.
To find out if that is worth the money that it's going to take. But if it's Class B, if it's Class B and it stays just like it is right now, it's doable. But if you're not going to put any rock on it ever again, you know as well as I do what's going to happen to that road. So,
well, Darren, we've got 23 years of some Level B roads now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the farmers that utilize those Level B roads for access. Do we run into problems around planting and harvest? Do you get a lot of phone calls from those farmers saying, "Hey, I need this road passable"?
They don't. They call to request it to be bladed.
Okay.
They pretty much know they're going to have to get in there during the driest time possible on most of our Level Bs. Keep in mind, when those Level Bs were put in, those were almost all dirt roads to start with.
Right.
They never had rock on them in the first place. So we've really never taken any that are already rocked, and I don't know how long it would take to turn that back to mud, but this at least has good ditches and everything. Most of those dirt roads, the road was the ditch, and
right,
they managed to get through them.
Okay.
But like I said, if we do turn this Level B, it will turn into a dirt road over time, so we have to keep that in mind.
Well, I'm so appreciative to you for being here today, sir. This is the way the process is supposed to work, and everybody who is here, the way the process is supposed to work is Darren's supposed to bring this to us and let us know that we're going to have it for consideration. We're supposed to spend, starting today, the next few weeks, gathering as much input as we can before ultimately, did you say 2 weeks you're going to bring this back before us?
Well, at least two of these have some more investigation I need to do, so I might delay that at least another week so we can talk about it once more before you pass it.
Okay. But we'll continue to keep all the property owners informed, and it's, I think, completely appropriate to bring your concerns before us so that we can have that as part of our consideration.
Do we know at all how much it's going to save the county? In other words, will we see it in our property taxes? If we close all and make these, downgrade them, will we see it? What's the cost we're saving?
Yeah, there? Darren, you guys had those numbers, and I'm going to say a few numbers here that I remember, and you tell me if I'm way off. It feels like it was $13,000 a year to maintain paved roads. It was $4,000 a year to maintain gravel roads, and it was less than $1,000 a year to maintain these Level Bs. Are those?
Yeah, they've been adjusted over time some. The pay is closer to $17,000 now. Gravel's in the
$4,000 range per mile. And Level B is less than $1,000.
We blade it twice a year. It doesn't cost a lot to do that. It's just kind of built in to having the motor grader out there in their district.
And what I can tell you, and I'll never miss an opportunity to do this, what I can tell you about your property taxes is this board takes that stuff really, really seriously. We worked hard on it. We reduced actual spending in Story County by over $6 million in the last 3 years. We've produced the first truly balanced budget where revenues and expenditures meet in more than 25 years. We're taking it really, really seriously. Now, would you notice a direct correlation on your property taxes? Absolutely not. But we take every one of these under consideration because at the end of the day, that's how you make your budget ends meet, if you will.
I appreciate your work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here. Is there anybody else who would like to address us on this item today? All right, seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. I don't believe there's any action,
no action
required of
no.
the board. Darren, please just make sure the public is well informed and keep us informed as this comes back forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That moves us on to additional items. Consideration of the Story County policy for healthy food options after the 7-day review. Alyssa Wignall, I will tell you guys, as Alyssa gets settled, I was really surprised at some of the conversation that I heard this generate, that the Board of Supervisors is trying to force employees on, trying to take away their options and force employees to only eat certain things. And so I just want to say right up front, that couldn't be further from the truth. The actuality is we're trying to work on our insurance rates by having one healthy option in all our vending machines. Not talking about taking out your Oreo cookies or your Reese's peanut butter cup. We're talking about having one healthy option, and everybody can continue to choose to do whatever they want to do. With that, Alyssa, go ahead.
Well, don't use the word one, because I can think of more than one option in there. I'd like to see several of them. But I agree with your assessment, and I guess I would say to you that you shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, it happens. The other one that
a small minority will always have a little opinion.
At some of our meetings and functions that we have, you know, occasionally there's coffee and donuts and things like that. And, oh, now we can't have our donuts. That board of supervisors is telling us we can't have donuts. No, we're not saying that. But throw a couple oranges and apples on the table. I mean, it's not rocket science. And it, for me anyway, this is entirely about what it does to our insurance rates, both for the county and for the employee, what they contribute.
Correct.
Go ahead, Alyssa.
I tried to address any concerns. We're not removing anything from them. The meetings that I have attended, there's always been a healthy option there. They've always had a basket of fruit. They've had some different granola bars or Nutri-Grain bars. It's not going to affect anything. From what I've seen, the vending machines already have healthy options and the pop machines. We're not taking out the pop with any caffeine. It's all going to be there. It's just about having an extra a choice for those that want to.
Well, so it's more about even not changing anything, just act. Codifying what
Correct.
We do so that we can say to the insurance company, see, we have this as a policy.
We had to have a policy in order to qualify for a rate discount. So the only thing that changed, there were a few grammatical errors. Nothing else changed as far as the policy. I don't see any issues with any current banquet. There's always, you know, the healthy options there. So, and I only had a few comments.
Nothing major.
They just want us to leave the candy bars and stuff in the snack machines, sure. Which everyone they will be left in there. Yep.
I know I should expect it. I don't.
As long as I can still get my Diet Mountain Dew, then I'm
going
to move approval of this
healthy
foods option.
Got a motion.
What did you say? What kind of?
Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Mountain Dew. Well, I think we ought to eliminate that and go with Pepsi.
You got a second as motion?
Second.
All right. We got a motion and a second. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Adopted. Alyssa, thank you. Next item is consideration of Resolution 1443, authorization for non-current debt. Again, Jessica Reynolds.
This resolution before the board involves the specifics of the internal loan that you already authorized today in Resolution 1442. This simply authorizes the auditor to incur what the code calls non-current debt to achieve the internal loan for TIF debt purposes.
Yeah. So continuation of the action we took earlier as part of the public hearing. Questions for Jessica?
I move approval of Resolution 1443.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion of 1443. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 1443 passes. Jessica, thank you very much. Next item is consideration of Resolution 1449 amending the County Development Plan, Ames Urban Fringe Plan component, for future expansion of the ISU Research Park located in Section 22, Washington Township. Leanne Harder. Hi again, Leanne. Let me just say before you get started, Leanne, I am really, really excited, and I want to commend President Leith and Steve Carter, who I know is here with us today, on their vision for the research park and the impact that could have on all of Story County. As I've primed the pump for you, go ahead.
What's before you next is an amendment to the County Development Plan, specifically amending the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan is an adopted component of Story County's development plan. We have assigned this case number AMD-01-13. What that says is this is your first amendment to county development plan this year. We don't do these very often. And so I'll go through probably a little bit more information than you care for, but for matter of public notice, it's needed. We call this Iowa State University Research Park Amendment. If you look to the map on the right, those properties in green are those located inside the city limits of the city of Ames. The hatched in four squares are the properties that applied for this amendment, and then those in orange are those that are within a quarter mile that received notice of today's meeting. It is an amendment to the Amesburg Fringe Plan to facilitate the future annexation and expansion of the Iowa State Research Park. Currently, it is Industrial Reserve Research Park and Natural Area. The proposed designation takes that to planned industrial and maintaining the natural area designation. Their applicants are Iowa State University and Hunziker Apartments. There are five different property owners, however, and I'll point these out shortly. The two applicants, but then Gary and Catherine May and Arthur and Kathleen Riley. Those two are I hate to say non-consenting properties to this, but they are. This will facilitate future annexation. Story County unincorporated area will not be permitting any uses in this. As it develops, it will only be developed in the city of Ames. But as a partner to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, this action by the board is required as part of our 28E agreement. This does demonstrate the two designations. The existing designations are on the left. The hatched purple is the boundaries of the proposed amendment. It's currently Industrial Reserve Research Park. You see that little leg to the right as it extends towards the runways of the airport. That's one of the non-consenting, non-consenting just seems negative. One of the properties involved that is not one of the applicants. That's one of the farmsteads. That's a component of it. And then if you look on the right, that's what the proposed designations would look like, going all the purple, planned industrial, which the expansion of the research park as currently exists inside city limits is planned industrial too. Any questions thus far? A couple site shots real quick. Currently it's used for agricultural crop production, commodity production. You see that wooded area back towards the back of the screen and starts to go down towards the right of the screen, but to the north is the natural resource areas on the site. Again, that as my understanding, is the component of the site that's planned to be integrated into the campus approach of the expansion of the research park. Again, another look at that wooded draw. More site shots. All right, hurry up here. Now we're on the opposite side, looking towards the west. Now we're looking towards the east. Actually, no, we're still looking towards the west. Soon to come. This is that farmstead that's on that little finger that sticks out. This would be planned industrial with this and ultimately annexed into the city of Ames.
And if this were to get annexed, that property would have to be annexed as well, because otherwise it would be an island.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. On Monday, November 4th, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of the proposed amendment to the County Development Plan to you, and then your alternatives are on the screen. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Yeah, I appreciate that. For me, board, and then I'd like to see if there's anybody who'd like to address us on this. For me, clearly Iowa State looking at expansion of that research park in whatever direction, I mean, but there's really only one direction it can go, is something that could be really positive for all of Story County. My concerns lie more in maintenance of our natural areas and making sure that we don't lose what is a great feel there south of Ames as we work our way through this. So as I dig into this a little bit, that's where I come down. I didn't know if you guys had questions for Leanne.
No, I didn't factor that one in at all. And I was aware of this a little over a year ago. I was fortunate to be able to sit in on two of the earlier meetings where the planning was taking place and the visioning involved with this. And what was encouraging was there were quite a few stakeholders, potential stakeholders, that were at the meeting that were getting the briefing and so forth. And then to see that we are actually where we are at this point in time, I thought we wouldn't be here this soon, but yet they believed that they would be. And it just shows the level of commitment on the part of people. And a couple of weeks ago during the family weekend, I had an opportunity to visit with President Leith also just in a social gathering. And I certainly mentioned to him how excited I was personally with what I see is happening in the research park and what's happening with web filing and all of the potential for all of Story County as we move forward, and recognizing that as we did perhaps, and I'm not jumping the cart before the horse here a little bit, but you know, thinking back about what we did with Ada Hayden Park and when that development took place, the county was able to play a significant role with some of the planning and work in kind and things. And I can see potentially the need for Conservation Board and the conservation program. I'm seeing Director Mike Cox is here today for a little bit of report. That there is a role that we could play, not only here, but then I can see potentially some future things with access roads and so forth that are not factored in today but could be part of the future development in this particular area. So all in all, I'm really excited and very pleased to see that we are at this point in time moving forward with this process, this project.
Super. Paul, anything?
I think it makes good sense. There's nowhere else for them to go. Where they're at now. I mean, I think they've got a bright future ahead of them. They're very excited. I think they're very eager to get this going. And like you two, I'm excited to see what the future holds for that research area.
Well, outstanding. With that, while this is not a public hearing, I would ask if there is anyone here today that would like to address the board before we take action on Resolution 1449. Okay. Seeing nobody, board, I'll turn to you for your pleasure.
Move Resolution 1449.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1449 is adopted. With that, we'll move on to agency reports, and we have Mike Cox of Conservation. Mike, have you got anything going on right now? It feels like there's... Thank you, Steve. Good to see you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Good. Very good.
So we didn't get to get our fish structures built. What are we thinking now? And maybe I'm stealing the thunder of your report.
Ground's frozen right now. So
yeah, but it won't be long.
It won't last very long. No, we postponed that and have yet to schedule that, depending on ground conditions. We might just wait for a freeze-up to happen before we get back in there. So, unless you have any specific questions about Dakins, I don't know that I'll address very much of that today.
Yeah.
So, I think you know we're almost wrapped up with this first bid project. I'm going to have the next package in front of you here in a few weeks. So
outstanding.
That better.
One thing about Mike, he knows how to clear a house, doesn't he?
Yeah. I don't want you to take it personal, Mike. Crickets.
Well, I have two diehards here with us. just a few things of note. One, we did just this last Friday have our first, but we had a legislative reception this last Friday that or the Friday before.
Friday
now
before.
I can't remember.
Friday
before. Time flies. We haven't had one in years. I don't recall the last time that Story County Conservation had such a thing. We invited all of our elected officials, invited all of our legislators, all of our city mayors, and some agency folks as well, partner agencies. We had a turnout of about 36 people.
Outstanding.
So it went really well. We did have three of our state legislators there. And then we had one of our mayors and a few city representatives there as well. So the day went very well. We had presentations by Joe McGovern, who is the president of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. We had a presentation by Tom Hazelton, who is the executive director of the Iowa Association of County Conservation Boards. We had one by Ralph Rosenberg, who you're familiar with, I'm sure. And then Ted Tedesco spoke on conservation funding. Joyce Hornstein, one of our conservation board members, spoke on trails. And then I gave a summary on our projects. So it went really well. We learned a few things from it and look to offer the similar session next year. It was a good opportunity to get all of those people in the same room and to talk about conservation issues. One of the groups that was represented was the new Story County Outdoor Alliance, or I should say Outdoor Alliance of Story County is I think their correct name. That's a organization that's working on getting their 501c3 set up and a separate organization from the county, but they're going to really work to do some fundraising and support conservation efforts inside the county. So it was nice to have them there as well. We did a tour after the presentation. We toured Hickory Grove, looked at some watershed issues there. And after that, we went to Dakin's and, of course, gave the grand tour at what we could. It was still a little wet, but it was so nice to see that work in progress. So next, I'm still working on FEMA projects. You're familiar with last year's events. Now things are slowly moving forward with some of our FEMA projects in that regard. Just this morning I received a nearly authorized project worksheet on one of our projects, and that's for all the aggregate loss that we had to trails, both Heart of Iowa and Prairie Rail Trail. So still working forward on that. Our anticipation is that we will complete projects starting next summer, those FEMA projects. You will see a portion of that represented in our the budget that we bring forward because we do have a match component with FEMA funding. Next, I want to talk a little bit about a project that just want to put on everyone's radar if you're not familiar with it already. There was a parcel that landowners placed a conservation easement on along the, just north of McFarland Park, if you will, adjoining some of our other county property along the river. And the owners placed the easement on it. County Conservation Board is a holder on that easement, as is the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation bought that property, and they are interested in deeding that back to the county or a portion of that property. But this project will involve working with one landowner, which is the Pleasant Valley Church, adjoining landowner who wants a portion of this property, and also working with the cemetery, Pleasant Valley Cemetery there. So expect that we're still moving forward on how that all happens, what property gets sold to the church and what property goes to the township cemetery. So I had a meeting with representatives of those organizations as well as our county attorney last week or the week before, and so we'll be moving forward with that. The idea is that the county receives that property roughly after the sales would happen. It'd be about 30 acres, just under 30 acres. And the idea is that the Heritage Foundation would get that to us at no cost. We're still working that through with the sale of a portion of that property to the other landowners. Another property we acquired last year, and that is the you probably heard me refer to it as the Strum property. That's the one northeast of Roland. We took possession of that October 15th, so crops are now out, and we have possession of that. The plan is to, yet this fall, fall goes well, still get in there with the NRCS and do all of the tile work and do the wetland work. So it's an 80-acre parcel, 40 of it's already in CRP, 40 of it in crop. The plan is to go in with the NRCS, do a shallow excavation for a wetland, and then convert all of the perforated tile into non-perforated tile. And as I said, the idea is still to do this fall. NRCS coordinates all this work, pays for all this work, will assist with some of the seeding. So, but as of right now, that property is in our possession. As far as environmental education, you guys, I think you've heard me say the last few years that you know, our classroom schedule, our class program schedule, whether it be in the class or whether it be field trips, is filled up really quickly. And no exception this year, no exception at all. In fact, we turned away 82 classroom programs so far. We're full. We turned away that many. we turned away 8 different all-day field trips, which we don't like to do that either. And so we have a lot of schools requesting programs. And, you know, we're in every district. This year we did get some requests from schools that we're not currently in. And so that was encouraging. United was requesting some of our programming time. and then through the summer as well, you know, our Nature Camp series has always been pretty, highly sought after. We had a waiting list this summer of 30 children for just the waiting list, and that doesn't count the number of kids that call in and hear that there's a waiting list and then just don't want to get on it. So it is significant. All said and done, between our classroom programs and our trips, we're about over 1,000 different presentations for those two components. So we also, this fall, you may have seen it or heard of it, did a couple new programs. One is we called Wild Women of the Woods, and we had a tremendous turnout for that event. 15 different presenters, 15 different programs. It was all held at Hickory, well, most of it was held at Hickory Grove, and we had 63 women sign up for that event. It was incredible. So it maxed us out. That was our max participation. Just really well received, and it covered its costs. So that was nice as well that we could do that, and the program essentially pay for itself. The other one that we offered this fall was another public program. Another new one that we offered was a public program to go geode hunting. And when we first opened this program up, we filled up within a few days. It filled up within a few days, and we started a waiting list. And we were kind of scratching our heads, okay, how can we expand our number of people we can get on it? So we did. We added another vehicle, expanded it, and that filled up again. And there were people we were turning away. So that was, again, really, really positive. The public... You know, I guess the public requests for these kinds of programs is more than we've seen lately, and it's just increasing. And I think people are thirsty for that kind of thing. So EE, environmental education, is going really well. Another thing I've chatted about before is our OnCell program. That's our self-guided interpretive program, where we put signs up at the parks and put different messages on there. So people dial in with their phone, see the sign, has a phone number on it. They dial in, say they're at stop number X, and then they get a message that we record. Just within the last few weeks, we've had 40 people call into that. Just within the last few weeks, say the last 3 weeks, so it does get a lot of use. We're just getting started with it. We have 10 stops on right now. We have unlimited capacity to do stops. So that's really nice. It's becoming a really good tool for us, where maybe we don't want to put signage because we think, A, signage might get vandalized, B, we want to change it more often than it would be practical with hard signage. So this is a great option, and it's working really well. Just two more things. One is an update on the Hickory Grove water lines. If you remember our situation with those water lines, we did file suit on the installer of those lines. We did, as you're well aware, we did reach a settlement on that, and so we have now gone in and repaired all of those water lines. So that is done. It's nice to check that one off the list and not lose 800 gallons a day that we were losing. So. And then the only other thing I have is just an update. The one furnace at McFarland Conservation Center that we did not replace this last spring now needs replaced. And so we just got three bids on that. You might hear more about that coming up here. But that one we did not have budgeted, and so the Conservation Board will consider what to do or how to move forward with that at their next meeting, which is next Monday. So,
wear more clothes.
Wear more clothes, he said. He wants you to dress warm.
Dress warm.
Oh, wear warm clothes. Yeah, exactly. Well, we have an owls program in there today. We've got fans going because we got the furnace turned off. It's not safe. It's in the multipurpose room. And so we've got an owls program in there today. And older, wiser, livelier seniors is the
what area does this one cover pretty much, this furnace?
The multipurpose room.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'd be the same. It'd be the furnace heat pump combination that we did. Cost will be a little bit higher than it was per unit on the other two because this is a little bigger unit, a little higher occupancy rates in the multipurpose room than in the offices. So.
Good. Mike, thanks.
While
I've got you here, something you and I have talked about, but I want to make sure the board is aware of it. With our action today on the potential expansion of the research park and Steve Carter, who runs the research park, being here, I mentioned that one of my primary concerns is making sure that we maintain or have maintained those natural areas that they're addressing so that the research park area doesn't lose its natural character. I've talked with Mike and Jim Pease a couple times about the possibility of conservation becoming an active participant in that. Mike, I'd like to go ahead and schedule a meeting between you and I, Dr. Pease and Steve Carter, just because there's no better time for us to start to impact that than right here at the beginning stages. And like I say, I'll just get with you and try to do it. But, Board, I wanted to bring it to your attention just so you're well aware of all the happenings as ultimately an item or two may come before this board in the future.
Yep.
Yep. And I think it's Jim's intention to briefly address the Conservation Board with this thought at this coming meeting.
Okay.
Good. Just so you know, Mike, last week at our Board of Health meeting, we did approve the letter for Margaret to send out to the, I think there's 19 property owners in the Hickory Grove watershed that have some questions on their septic system. I think it wasn't it 19? Does that number sound right?
Sounds right.
That were either not permitted or they've been in there since prior to 1972 when the permits were required. So they're going to send the letter out. If people are willing, the county will reimburse up to $400 to expose the box and see what's going on. So
right.
Wasn't overly optimistic she'd get a lot of positive response. But, I mean, it's out there. We'll see what happens. So.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
We're pretty sure that the optical brighteners weren't coming from the geese. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very good. Thank you.
You can't blame that on the geese, huh?
You
okay.
can't blame that on the geese.
Anything else for Mike? Mike, thank you very much. No departmental reports, no other reports. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne?
Yes.
You're busy here the rest of the week with ISAC, I know. Paul, anything?
No.
And I'm... Pass. Public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Drew Loris? Okay. Sheriff, you got anything public for us? All right. Announcer for the supervisors, Wayne.
Nope, I think you already hit on it. I will be down at ISAC all day starting tonight and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for meetings and so forth. So we've got a really great lineup of speakers and presenters for the fall school, so it should be an exciting time.
I'm looking
time.
Forward to it, absolutely. Yeah. Paul, anything? All right. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. We are adjourned.